Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Talked about how God had interrupted Jonah's life, and I want to say that God has a right to interrupt your life. No matter what you're doing, you should be open to God interrupting your life. God, come and interrupt my life, whether it's day or night. The past two nights in a row, I got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning. Both nights, it was 1 o'clock, but I welcome God's interruption. I know it's there, but God does this in order to test us, because He wants us to know our own heart. The heart can be deceitfully wicked, right? And we can't know our own heart, but God, try me, O God. Test my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, any disobedience in me. You know, God knew about Jonah's heart. Do you know that God knew before he asked him, before he commanded him to go to Nineveh? He knew Jonah's heart. He did. Man looks at the appearance, but God looks at the heart. What people outside seen was a prophet of God. What God seen was someone whose heart was not right before him. And God knew Jonah's heart, but he requires our obedience whether we like it or not. You may not like what God tells you to do, but that does not exempt you from doing what God tells you to do. God wants to challenge us, stretch us, and take us out of our comfort zone. And sometimes God will command you to do things and it seems like he's asking just too much. And Jonah, we know, could have ignored God, but he did something even worse. He decided to kind of in-your-face God. Not only will I not do what you said, I will do something against what you said, the opposite of what you said. And he and others suffered the consequences of his rebellion and disobedience. And so I want to say this. Do you want your children and do you want your friends and your family to suffer the consequences of your disobedience? Because this opposite is true, too. They can also receive the blessings of your obedience. It works both ways. So we can work this thing if we're obedient to God. And you might think, another thing I wanted to go over was Jonah asleep on the boat. One of my prayers for people is that you cannot sleep in your disobedience, that you will not be unable to sleep. Because here's the problem with Jonah sleeping in the bottom of that boat. How can you sleep when you're in direct rebellion to God? We should not be able to sleep. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would not allow that in any of our lives. Because you know what it means when you can sleep in your disobedience? It means your heart is becoming hard and you're becoming stubborn and you're becoming reprobate to the things of God. I pray that I cannot sleep in my disobedience to God. And the sailors on the ship were shocked that Jonah could sleep. The captain was shocked. And the sailors began to ask Jonah the million-dollar question, why did you do it? And in the Word of God, when we read something like that, we must understand that that's a question to us. Why did you do it? That's a good question, by the way, when we're disobedient. What was I thinking? Why did I do this? And it's pretty sad when it's the people in the world who have to begin to ask us, why are you doing this? I thought you were a Christian. You said you were a Christian. And I was in a situation the other day, a family situation, where we were discussing something, and there was four of us at the table, and they were asking some of the men, they were saying, what would you do if this person who had really hurt you, because there's a person in our life who's really come against us, and what would you do if this person got sick, if they died, would you go, would you this? And they were asking the other people at the table. And when they came to me, I said, I would go. And the girl across from me, she said, we already know what you would do. And I was glad for that. I was really glad because it gave me an opportunity to explain why I would go. And what is required of us, and the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. You know, things like that. When someone truly repents, we should go. But later, one of the men said that she's a real Christian. You know, may that be said of each and every one of us. I believe that all of you here tonight are real Christians. I really believe that. You wouldn't be on a Monday night Bible study if you were playing church. I don't believe that. So you're real. And that's what the world needs to see. And they weren't seeing that in Jonah at all, by the way. So they decided to ask Jonah, how should we punish you? And he said, if you throw me in the sea will become calm. Now, this Jonah's a prophet, so Jonah's prophesying here. If you throw me in the sea will become calm. So when they actually finally did agree to do that, and the sea did become calm, that's when they understood that this is really the one true and living God, the God of the seas. Because Jonah knew what to do. He is a man of God, and it happened just as he said. And so they began to worship God. Now, interesting, Jonah never prayed. Up until this point, Jonah, he's still not praying, by the way. But the men on the ship have now begun to worship God. They got rid of the prophet. Now they have begun to worship God. I see no praying by Jonah. He wasn't in the bottom of the ship praying. He was sleeping. But they, when they seen their, they heard the word from Jonah, one prophecy, and it came to pass, and they immediately began to turn to God. You know, how is this? That so, it just shows you that God can use us and he will use us because the word is the word. And Jonah admitted his sin to the sailors, but he did not ask for any forgiveness. We're going to go over verse 14 that says, this is actually Jonah's first prayer. And I think I mentioned this to you last week. Jonah, this is what it says. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. Why do we have to wait until we're in the middle of trouble? We're inside a big, big problem before we pray. Why do I have to wait until I'm in prison and pray from the inside of the prison? I could have prayed outside the prison. I could have been obedient before I got in the hospital or in that situation. That's my choice. I want to make the right choice here. I want to learn from Jonah. That's why I'm here tonight. I want to learn from Jonah. And I thought about this. He could have even prayed when the storm started. This storm is because of me. He could have even prayed as it got worse. He could have repented. He could have told God, I will. I surrender, God. But he did not even talk to God until he was inside the fish. I conclude all on my own that Jonah has a very low IQ. Jonah is not a very bright bulb at all. He said, I cried to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the world of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. So he prayed inside the fish when he was in big, big trouble, inside the big, big fish, and he felt like he was dying. Why do we wait to pray till we feel like we're going to die and we have a big, big problem? We're in the middle of a big, big problem, and then we decide to call on God. I don't want God to be the God of my crisis situation. The God, you are the God of my big, big trouble. You are the God of the hard times. Why aren't we going to serve God in the day of blessing as we are so blessed here tonight? And we should pray before we get in trouble. We should obey before we suffer the consequence of the disobedient. I see it all the time. People show up to church when they have trouble. They'll come through those doors crying many times, or I've got this and it's a big, big problem. And mostly they've caused it themselves, like all of us, no different. And then 16:4 says this, then I said, O Lord, you've driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see your holy temple? We went over that. No, 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 no. God did not drive Jonah from his presence. Jonah went out from the presence of the Lord. It says it twice in Jonah 1 that Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He ran from God's presence. God did not drive him out of his presence. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Stop blaming God when you don't feel him or you're not, I can't feel the presence of the Lord. It's not God. We can be in the presence of the Lord anytime we want. God is omnipresent. He is present. So if someone is not present, it's not God. And we need to remember that. So God did not drive him out of his presence, nor does he drive anyone out of his presence. And one of the things that makes hell so awful is that we are going to be out of the presence of the Lord. We're going to be separated from God. And separated from joy and mercy and one another and so many things and no more chances and no more hope, separated from hope. But in Jonah 2 and 5, Jonah gives his testimony real briefly. He said, I sank. This is his testimony. Let me outline it. I sank. Death was close at hand. There were waters all around me. I had seaweed wrapped to my head. And then I sank further. How much further do we have to sink? That's another question. How much further? How much worse? We're in a big, big, bad trouble, and now it's getting worse. I'm sinking deeper and deeper. I'm deeper in sin than I was last week. And here's what he says, but, oh, Lord, my God. You know, even when we are not obedient to God, he's still our Father, and he's still merciful. And here's what he says, oh, Lord, my God, you have snatched me from the yawning and open jaws of death. I love that open jaw thing because we're talking about the big, big fish that swallowed him. He knew what Jaws was. Have you ever seen the movie Jaws? Well, Jonah knows what Jaws is. So you snatched me from the yawning, open jaws of death. And Jonah, you didn't deserve to be snatched from the open jaws of death, and neither did I. Some of us were snatched also out of hell. And then he says, I lost all hope. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thought once more to the Lord. After I lost all hope, why would I wait till I lose all hope to even think about God? But that's what he said. At least let's give him credit for being honest. And my earnest prayer went to you in your holy temple. Oh, okay, we're thinking about God's holy temple now. Maybe we'll even come to church someday. Your holy temple, earnest prayer, I like it so far. This is Jonah finally getting serious about obeying God. He's praying an earnest prayer. He's praying, but here's the thing. He's praying because he's desperate. He's now thinking about God and not about what Jonah wants or Jonah doesn't want. And you know the story. God commanded the fish to spit Jonah out, and the fish was obedient. He did it. No surprise there. And that's the second time the fish has obeyed God, and Jonah has not yet obeyed God, not even the first time. So the fish is 2, Jonah 0. Chapter 3 says God, we know that God is giving Jonah a second chance to go the same exact message. God will keep, he'll keep reminding you, this is what I told you to do. This is what I told you to do. This is where I told you to go. I told you to go talk to that person. This is what I told you to do. And you'll get some second chances. So Jonah does reluctantly go to Nineveh, and they repent. You know, the king got off his throne. The animals even were required to ask. And I want to say this. The purpose of God's judgment is never revenge, or he doesn't do it maliciously. The purpose of God's judgment is always to show mercy, and it is for correction, to correct us. Please allow the Holy Spirit to correct you. Please allow those who have authority over you given by God to correct you. If a pastor, let me say this to you, and I can step on toes because I'm at that place right now. God has commanded me to speak truth. Let me just say this. If your pastors, whoever they are, cannot correct you, they cannot help you. They cannot save you. If they cannot correct you, they can't do much at all for you. It means you're closed. It means you are closed to God, to hearing from God, because he often speaks that way. And God wants to correct us. It's good for us to receive a word of correction. It's good for us to surrender to God's will and to have a repentant heart at all times. There's something to repent of every single day. You had a bad attitude today? Anybody at all? For any reason at all? Come on. Bad thoughts? Anybody? At all? Time to repent. Time to repent. And if we don't, it means our heart is growing harder. It means we're becoming stubborn. It means that we could eventually become reprobate because we're turning off the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem with that. He's a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. He will not. He will back away because you're backing away. And so we need to remember that. But I love that the people repented, they fasted. And here's the situation I want to share this too. The The assignment that God gave Jonah was wonderful. Basically, this is what God was giving him, an assignment. If God had given me this assignment, now I know he didn't like some of the people of Nineveh. Maybe they had harmed a cousin, a sister, a brother, whatever. But there were 120,000 people, and God was sending him there so the people would turn to him and repent. Basically, if you go there, you're going to be the next Smith Wigglesworth. You're going to be the next Seymour. Revival can break forth. If one person is obedient, it can affect the lives of 120,000 people plus. And here's little Jonah going, no can do. No, thank you, God. No. But you're a prophet of God. You're supposed to receive the word. You mean you can give people words, but you can't receive words, right? That's not how it works. The message, when Pastor Ken and I share a message, the message is always first to the messenger. It means God's working on you first. It really does. And so the people of Nineveh, they repented, but Jonah didn't like it. Humor alert here. This is what Jonah says in chapter 4 about the situation. This change of plans, Jonah 4:1, upset Jonah. What change of plans? God had said he would destroy this city if they didn't repent. But he's changing his plans now because they have repented. And this made Jonah so mad. So who was he mad at, I want to ask you? Jonah was mad at the change of plans. Who changed the plans? God. Who was he mad at? God. Whoa. What if me or Pastor Ken or Pastor Gil, somebody came and said, we're just mad at God. You know better, right? We all know better. And so this change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Jonah now does not like that God is going to forgive the Ninevites, and he's going to spare them. By the way, this is not Jonah's business. This is God's business. This is the Father's business. And another question that I asked before, but I'm going to continue to ask, because we're called to preach the gospel to the lost, is Jonah was so angry. He was so mad. He was just so angry. But how hard-hearted, how wicked do you have to be to want people to go to hell, to not want them to hear, to repent and turn from God, and that you can be saved? He was angry. What did Jonah want? He said, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive, because nothing I prophesied or predicted, nothing I wanted, nothing I planned is going to happen. In other ways, I told them that they're going to be destroyed, but you decided not to destroy them. This makes me really, really mad. It's like, you know, you tell me that there's a people in a building across the street, and they're wicked people. They're drug dealers. They're terrible people. They're in that house next door here, and the house is burning. And I'm like, there you go. There you go. That's where wickedness will get you. And I don't want to save them. I don't care that that's happening to them. That's Jonah. That's Jonah. He did not care. So what exactly did you want, Jonah? He wanted them to die. He wanted them to be destroyed. And here's what Jonah tells God: I knew who you were. Wow. Then you should know that I want to spare those people. You should know why you're doing what you're doing. And I knew that you were compassionate and merciful, and I knew how easy you would cancel in your plans to destroy these people. In other words, kind of throwing it, God says, I know you. I know how you'll forgive all the people. That's who you are. Yes, that is who I am. I am God. I love them. I created them. And so the Lord replied, he answered Jonah, I would have said, you said kill me now, and I don't have a problem with that at all. We can arrange for that. Come on, Jaws, come on back. Jonah needs a second dip in the pool. But Jonah positions himself on the east, which is significant. We won't go into that right this minute. But he has a front row seat to what's going on. And he's watching And he's sitting there because he's waiting. But he's waiting. But what is he waiting for? He wants to watch the destruction of the city. He's sitting there thinking, I cannot wait. Will God do it by fire? Surely he's going to use a fire, a bomb or something on him. And I'm going to be right here sitting. I told them this would happen to them. And so he makes a shelter and he sits under it. Verse 5 says, waiting to see if anything would happen to the city. Actually, he was hoping to see that something would happen to the city. And it was hot, and the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow, and it spread its big leaves over Jonah's head and was now shading him from the sun because Jonah was uncomfortable, and this eased his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely grateful for the plant. Then the Bible continues, but God also prepared a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it soon died and the plant withered away. Now, the word prepared here is the exact same word as the word prepared the fish. Remember, I said God created that fish for a specific purpose. It wasn't a random fish just swimming, and God said, go over there. This fish had a purpose. It was created for a purpose. Every flower, every tree, every fish, the same thing with this plant. And this worm was created for a purpose. You think worms don't count? I say right here in the Bible, they count. You can catch a fish with a worm. Worms matter. And the plants matter. And so for shade. And so it's the same word that God created this worm and this plant. It's interesting also that the worm was doing what it's created to do, and Jonah was not doing what he was created to do. It means that this was not random whatsoever that this happened. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you? Jonah got angry about the worm eating the plant. The plant's no longer with us. And Jonah feels very sorry for the plant, that the little worm ate the plant. What is wrong with you? You're low IQ. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Let me answer that. Jonah, don't answer that. It is not right for me to be angry. Because the plant died? You're angry that a plant died. Not people. I said plant. Yes, Jonah retorted. It is right for me to be angry. Yes, I have a right to be angry that plant died. He assumed that's my plant. That's what makes me comfortable. I like the plant. I like my plants, but I don't like my neighbor next door that's unsaved. I would wish my neighbor that's next door would go to hell, but I'm going to water and I'm going to take care of this plant. That is a problem, by the way, that we care more about things than people. And Jonah's sorry for himself. He's sorry for the plant. Why should this plant die? I was sitting under it. I was sitting under it, and I was getting comfortable so that I could watch 120,000 people die. But you killed the plant. And why is it that people today have these causes, save the trees, save the whales, you know, we're concerned about our vehicle breaking down, all of these causes, help the puppies, you know, all kinds of stuff, good stuff, but don't care enough about our friends and our family and our neighbors to tell them the truth of God's word. And the Lord said, you feel sorry for the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It wasn't even your plant, Jonah. You thought it was for you. It wasn't even your plant. You did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh, God says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Jonah had such serious, serious problems. He probably could justify and say they're not going to listen anyway. You don't know who's going to listen anyway. The fact of the matter is they listened immediately. The fact of the matter, they were more obedient than Jonah ever could have thought about being. Our job is to preach the gospel. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to convince people of sin and convict, and God will save them. I said yesterday in our message on fear that we did yesterday, fear will keep you from your destiny, and fear will keep you from being obedient to God. It really will. It will cause you to be trapped and be disobedient. Like you'll say, well, I can't give because I might not have enough. It's not right. Whatever. It will cause you to be disobedient and suffer the consequences. Here's the thing I said. It will cause you not to be able to witness because you'll be afraid of what people will say. They'll reject me. They won't accept it anyway. But here's the other thing I said. If you had someone in front of you with cancer, and you're a Christian, and you're anointed, you know all about healing, you've sat under godly teaching that taught you about healing and what we do. We anoint prayer cloths. We lay hands on the sick. We speak the name of Jesus. We pray corporately for a person, and we receive communion to receive healing. And if you would say, I can't lay hands on that person, I'm afraid. And what am I afraid of? I'm afraid they might not be healed. That's not fair. What if they're not healed? What if they are healed? What if they are healed? What if God heals them because one person was obedient? And what if they begin a ministry and preach to thousands? You know, our job is to be obedient to God, to do everything that he tells us to do, to preach the gospel. And it is going to mean, and one of the reasons I wanted to play the video is it's going to mean listening to God's voice. My situation today, where our mom lives in my home now, only came about because the Holy Spirit spoke to me one night and told me to write a card that I pretty much knew would never be received. But that's not the point. The point is, if you know that God is speaking to you, and let me tell you how you know. There's people that say, how do you know that God was indeed, it was God and not just emotion or something else? Because the Holy Spirit is pretty relentless. He won't just whisper it one time. He will shout it to you, if you understand what I mean. Not in an audible voice, but he will continually, there will be something inside you that you almost can't sleep, eat, or do anything else. It will be ever present on your mind and in your heart if you're hearing, and until you obey. And then when you obey, you are suddenly released from that burden to let God do whatever he needs to do. Things are not perfect in our situation, but they're wonderful. Can I say that they're wonderful? God did something amazing in the life of our mom, who's going to be going to eternity shortly. And so many wonderful things, Pastor Ken can tell you, have happened with our mom. She shared things about her childhood. So many wonderful things that I never knew. Questions that I always said when we were all estranged, if I ever had a chance to ask, I could ask. Did I ever think this would happen? I got to confess, I didn't have much hope for it to happen, but we serve a very big God. And if we hear from God, we must be obedient to whatever it is. Just like I reminded you another testimony that I had was the girl at the restaurant that time. Remember me telling you that when I went to hug Tammy goodbye at the restaurant one time, I just had hugged her, and there was a girl over her shoulder that I had met before, just briefly. I didn't even know her, but I was hugging Tammy, and the Holy Spirit said, hug her too. And I was just like, you know how you argue in seconds, and I was like, this is not church, God. The people at the restaurant, they're not, you know, it's not Frida and Janice and Debbie. It's not church, and I'm just arguing in my head, no, I'm not going to go hug other random waitresses. But it was so strong and so fast and so quick that I just walked over. A hug won't hurt. I went over and hugged her, and she said, I was hoping that you would. I was hoping that you would. Her brother just went to prison, and, you know. But you've all got experiences just like that. I know that you have, where the Holy Spirit told you to do something, and you did it, and there was fruit from that. Am I right? There came fruit forth from that, you know, praying for the woman in Kentucky that I met again the other day that was healed. She said, Nathan and I, sitting in the front room, she comes through the front room of my brother-in-law's house, and she said, you remember me? And I said, yes. And she goes, I'm still cancer-free. I didn't have to have any. So, you know, we need to listen. But most of all, we need to listen because that is what's going to take us home. We have to be obedient to God. if we're going to make it home, and if we're going to make it home not beat up so much and bruised. So if do we have musicians or music? Ken, you want to play music a little? It would be great if we could just spend a few moments in worship, just worshiping him, taking time. It's a cool Monday night. And I'm just going to close in prayer, asking God to speak to each and every one of us. Give us assignments, Father God. We don't have to like them, but if we will do them and commit to you, God. Father God, we just come before you, and we thank you for all the lessons we learned from the life of Jonah. He taught us pretty much what not to do. So, God, we're going to go with that, Father God. And, Lord, I just ask that you would speak to each and every heart, each and every person, Father God, that they would hear your voice. Father God, that we could go to bed at night and we could quiet ourselves and not be distracted by any of the cares of the world or the storms all around us, because they are there. There are storms all around us, even if it's not raining and lightning outside. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would cause us not to be distracted. Speak to us, God. Help us to be obedient, Father God, even when it's hard, even when the assignment is hard, Father God. Father God, don't let us become stubborn or reprobate, Father God. Give us a soft heart, Father God, a tender heart. Father God, let us know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to lose, Father God. Father God, put people on our heart for us to minister to, Father God. Show us, point us in the right direction, and we promise not to go in the opposite direction. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Father God, if there's any sick, if there's any broken, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Father God, make all wrongs right. Whatever's wrong here tonight, make it right, Father God. Answer the cries of every heart, Father God. Everybody here has got something on their heart that they are crying out to you about, Father God. Whatever that is, Father God, I ask that you would speedily fix it. Fix it, Jesus. Father God, you're the healer. You're the pain taker. You're the way maker, Father God. You're the restorer. You're the one who reconciles, Lord. Father, we thank you for the cross. Lord, let us keep our eyes on the cross. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. We worship you and we praise you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.